staying connected to one of the great people in Chicago, but she's not in Chicago right now. We miss you, Vicky Santo. How are you?
I'm just fine, and I miss you too. So nice
you.
To talk to you.
Oh, it's, well, forget about me. WGN Radio, that's where Ron was for how many years?
Oh, my goodness. It had to be 15 years.
Yeah.
I think he was 19 years there.
That could be. And I will tell you, one of the most beloved. So never mind the fact that we loved Ron on the field. And was one of the great players, but it wasn't only his batting average or the Golden Gloves that he won or the home runs that he hit. It was his spirit. But then we got to hear that and see that when he became a broadcaster right here at WGN Radio. Do you feel that way? And do you feel the love that I think, let me rephrase that I know Chicago has for you and your family?
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, when he was in the booth, it was a whole different dynamic to the game because he broadcasted as a fan, as you know. I mean, a drop ball, and he's going, oh, no! You know, I mean, those are the things that made people love Ron. I mean, if you're a Cub fan, he was Mr. Cub.
And there's going to be a bobblehead day coming up, right?
I know. Isn't that appropriate?
That's, he would have loved that you said that, I'm sure. That's August 20th,
I know,
I think.
Right? I had texted Pat Hughes about it, you know, because I was planning on coming in town, but I'm not able to now. But anyway, I had texted Pat if I could go and talk to him in the booth, and I just said to him, isn't that appropriate, having a bobblehead day?
Well, you should fly in.
He would be laughing. He would be laughing as well. I'm sure he is.
Well, I have a couple of questions via text, and you can call if you have questions also, 312-981-7200. And the questions are all about horses. They're not about Ron
really?
Santo. Yes. One person wants to know if you're still riding. Another wants to know if you are riding reining horses. Are those horses with umbrellas? I'm not sure.
Yes, I am still riding. As a matter of fact, I have a show this weekend, so I'll be showing on Friday. And reining horses, these horses are trained to do patterns at speed and at distance. Like the things they do is you run into the pen as fast as your horse can go, and you say, whoa, and they lock their back legs and slide. It's so cool. It is so cool. Or you can send, or there you do your spinning to the left and to the right, and you move your fingers an inch, and they're cranking around there. It's just really, really a fun way to show. And yes, I am still doing that.
Is the temperature still like 300 degrees in Arizona where you are?
Well, it's 100 plus out there now. Now, the show this weekend is inside. It's in the Equidome. So it's air conditioned in there, although you do warm up undercover with fans. It's still hot. There's no getting away from it.
I imagine. Is that tough on the horses?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? They're used to it. They live in it. So, you know, we're in the air conditioning at night or during the day. So when we walk out, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's so hot. Their stalls, they're undercover. So they're not standing in the boiling sun. But they're, you know, the temperature is what the temperature is.
Yeah.
So they do get used to it.
Well, you're greatly here to talk about the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. And we'll talk about what these dogs are trained to do. It's incredible. Dogs have actually, because you and I have talked about this, saved lives. I'll say it again, saved lives. I mean, that is so amazing. But I want to back up a step and ask you to tell a story again that I know you and I have talked about before, having to do with the time Ron Santo called in to this program when I did and I still do a pet show. So he called into the pet show. The question was about a dog named Joker, because the answer ultimately of what Joker was able to do leads to the formation of this organization. But that phone call is kind of funny to talk about, I think.
It's hysterical. Well, Ron's on the air. Now, I listen, you know, when he was broadcasting, of course, I'm listening to all the games, and he's on the air, and you had called. He was talking about the dog Joker. And Joker was an Australian Shepherd, a gorgeous, gorgeous dog, but very timid. Not, you know, abused timid, just timid. And Ron was a big personality. When he's in the room, you know he's in the room. And so Joker would kind of stay away from Ron, you know, if he could. And so Ron would come home and he'd try to bribe him with cold cuts, you know, like, come here, Joker. You know, and then if the dog would kind of reach forward, but then back up at all, Ron would go, see, he doesn't like me. I'm like, well, you know, you just blew it. He was on his way to come to you. But anyway, so he was talking about that. He was talking about that on the air. And your comment was, you know, Ron, you are so emotional. And I'm sure that when you go home, you know, you're upset because they've lost. And Joker feels that. And he said, and you told him, you suggest that he just get a glass of wine and go to the closet and sit in the closet, have his wine until he could relax. Well, his response to you was, I should go to the closet? Are you kidding? This is my dog. I mean, it was so funny. It was so funny. But you know what? The reality of it is, when Ron's cancer came back, and we were waiting. He was doing chemotherapy, and we were waiting for the results, you know, from the doctor. Joker would sit next to Ron and put his foot up on his knee, and he'd just sit there like that. And Ron goes, see, he knows. I mean, they smell the cancer, they smell the diabetes, and that's what they're trained to do.
And in a way, that and a couple of experiences you had, and you could talk about one of them if you'd like, was the impetus for what became the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. Because Joker not only did what you just said, but also alerted in one case, as I recall, probably saved Ron's life.
No question. Well, I was at the other end of the house, not that it was a big house, but I was down, you know, in the basement, and right, and Joker doesn't like to go down the stairs, but he would stand at the top and kind of whine. Ron was back in the bedroom, and I said, well, Joker, what's wrong with you? You know, I'm kind of irritated because I'm busy. So I come upstairs, and I go, do you have to go out? And I walk him to the door, and he won't go out. And I go, what is wrong with you? And he goes back to the bedroom, and there's Ron Lane, and has such a low sugar that he was, I mean, you have to be with somebody when their sugars are off kilter there. They're not coherent. And I went, oh my goodness, that's the problem. So then I went, got him his juice, and, you know, he comes back. But Joker did that long before I ever knew there was anything like a diabetic alert dog.
Well, eventually became the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. I imagine Ron would be so proud. I mean, this was a dream of his, wasn't it?
You know, we didn't even know about these diabetic alert dogs while he was still alive, but he just kept saying to me, I feel so sorry for the parents of kids that have diabetes. He said, it's scary. You're kind of watching them every minute of every day to make sure that their sugars are in control. And so that's the reason I started this foundation, but I do have to tell you, that's no longer the reason I do this. I do this for the applications that I read that the parent is saying, I have to wake up every hour at night and check my son's sugars because he drops low at night. Every hour they wake up, that one of the parents gets up and checks the sugars. And the other one, I just called them, and we're getting a dog for them. And then another one just said their son goes to school and has to go to the nurse 6 times during the school day to have his sugars checked. These kids deserve to live a normal life. They deserve to be able to, you know, they're not feeling their symptoms, and that's dangerous. So that's what these dogs can help with, and that's why we keep doing this.
Well, you said that's what these dogs can help with. I would argue that's what these dogs do help with.
How, they do help with it. There's no question.
Yeah.
No question.
So how efficient are, did I phrase that correctly? How efficient are these dogs? Are they truly near perfect at detecting either a crash or a surge in sugars?
Actually, they can detect a change in the sugar levels before the glucometer, before the Dexcom, about probably 15 minutes before the glucometer. And what's so cool about that is that because they catch it so soon, the diabetic can adjust for it. If they need insulin, they can take their insulin, or if they're low and need glucose, they can, you know, they can have something to eat. And so the fewer times they go into the real deep, you know, high sugars or low sugars, that helps them in the long term. Because it's the short term, you know, you're down for, you know, whatever, a couple hours, you don't feel good. But that takes a toll on your body. So by preventing that sugar to go that low or that high, the long-term consequences of amputation or blindness or kidney failure, all the horrible things that happen when diabetics are out of control, those are minimized greatly.
So there is a cumulative effect. So if things, even if the life is saved by medical science, there is a cumulative effect, you're saying, when, and I've heard this from doctors too, when over time it happens and happens again and again and again, and these are kids. So it's going to happen potentially throughout their lifetime. So to prevent that sort of going that far, if for lack of a better way of saying it, by catching things early, not only are you improving the quality of life, but you're also making a difference long term.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you've told me that these dogs have even saved lives.
There's no question. There's no question. The alert that the dogs do for a low blood sugar, and the low is the most dangerous. The low happens, if it happens at night when the person is asleep and they don't wake up because of it, the body starts shutting down. The brain starts shutting down, and then the body, the organs start shutting down. And so the dogs are trained, if they detect a low sugar, to get up, either to jump, put their paws up on the bed and nudge the owner, or if the owner doesn't respond, they're trained to lick their face, which brings them back. And we had a story of a woman who, this happened to her. She was couldn't wake up. The dog detected it, woke her up enough that she could call 911, and then she passed out again. The dog continued to lick her face until the paramedics came, and they said, "This dog saved your life because your body didn't start to shut down because of the dog," which is just, it gives me chills. It gives me chills.
It should. And what's more, these dogs have additional benefits as well, because sometimes kids that are different are ostracized in some way or another. And now it's cool that this kid is going to school with a dog, isn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing. There was one girl, I think she was from, I'm thinking South Carolina, but her dad was in the military, and she was probably around 12 years old, and she was just picked on at school all the time. You know, kids can be really mean, as we all know, and she was being picked on all the time, and he got deployed. And when he was deployed, the kids were picking on her and saying, "Oh, he left because you don't feel good, or you're diabetic, or whatever." I mean, she was just devastated. She didn't even want to go to school. And once she got her dog and went to school, all of a sudden, she's the cool kid. They're asking her to sit at their table for lunch. I mean, it turned her around. It turned her personality around and her confidence. And that's what's so important, is these kids get their confidence back. because they know they're fine. They can do whatever they want to do.
Is it frustrating to you that you receive more applicants that are appropriate applicants than dogs you can provide simply because of cost, resources, because it takes more time than I think people would know to train these dogs, yes, and therefore more money than people might think?
That's correct. I mean, it takes at least, it's a two-year training process. The first year is completely done with the dog and the trainer. And then once the dog is obedience trained, scent trained, public access trained, and we find out what activities the kids do that this dog is going to go to. So if they're football games or soccer games, the dog has been exposed to it. They come to Arizona and they spend 4 or 5 days with the trainer and the dog, and then they go home with the dog. And it's still an adjustment. It's a big adjustment for the dog, to say the least. Now he's living in a home with a family and maybe other animals. So it's a process of bonding of the diabetic and their dog. But they still have access to Gracie, our trainer. So if there's any issue, we don't want them to wait a month and tell us something's wrong. You call her right away. And she can, address whatever your issue is.
And I will ask, because I think people need to know why we're, I mean, what's the approximate cost of training an individual dog?
It's between $15,000 and $18,000
a year. Yeah, so if you do the math and you're providing X number of dogs, therefore you need to pay for that. And that's inexpensive compared to what it could cost, you know, so... And the good that you're doing, I don't know what the value is to that. So here's my pitch to help what I know is a great organization, the Ron and Vicki Santo Diabetic Alert Foundation. Your website is?
RonSantoFoundation.com.
RonSantoFoundation.com. You can check out the organization if you like. I know I've met some of the dogs. You've been in town previously and introduced me to a recipient of one of these dogs. They are incredible as to what the human-animal bond can be and the difference these dogs can make. And as you put it, they're not good at it. They are excellent, extraordinary at it, even better than the medical detection equipment that we have. And what more can you say than that? You must feel great. I mean, just so great about the work that this organization does, Vicki.
I do. And especially once these people, and now that they come to Arizona to get their dog, I get to meet them. I get to see the bond of the child and the dog, which is immediate because the dog has been trained to the scent, the particular scent of that child. And so when they first see their dog and the dog, you know, dog's blue, they smell this kid. They're like, that's my person. It's just so cool. It gives you chills. It's so cool. And it, you know, again, it's a process of bonding, but the dogs they're amazing. They're just amazing.
Well, they are, but so is your trainer. So are all the people involved with the organization, including yourself. Give us the website one more time, Vicki.
RonSantoFoundation.com.